Welcome to Becker Drive Missionary Baptist Church podcast. We are located at 8910 Ferndale Road in Louisville, Kentucky, in the Fern Creek community. Our services are as follows: Sunday school, 10 a.m. Sunday morning services, 11 a.m. Sunday evening, 6 p.m. Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. Come join us to worship God in truth and in faith.
I want to welcome everyone to Becker Drive Missionary Baptist Church this morning, and I hope you've come with excitement. And anticipation in your heart for all that God can do for us. I'm excited to be here, and pray for me that God would use me this morning as he would see fit and be honored by. I just need the help of the Lord this morning, and always do. Well, I'd appreciate your prayers continuing as we look to God's word this morning. I'm going to read a psalm this morning. Psalm 63 will be our primary text this morning. I'll read a few other passages, but that's where we'll spend the majority of our time, Psalm 63. If I remember correctly, it is a psalm that I have preached on before. I love it. It is certainly one of my favorites, which I know is no surprise, but it is a beautiful psalm, a psalm of David, and the title of my message this morning is, My Soul Thirsts for Thee. My Soul Thirst for Thee. And we want to talk just briefly this morning about the thirst of our souls. The thirst of our souls. Let's read Psalm 63 in its entirety. We probably will not touch on all 11 verses. We'll spend most of our time in the first portion of it, the first three verses, I imagine. And then I'll read a couple other passages, but we'll spend most of our time here. Psalm 63. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Amen. Forgiving my mistakes, that is the 63rd Psalm. And I would like to just have another brief prayer before we move further. Heavenly Father, my Lord and King, holy is your name. As Canaan sang of your love this morning, my heart was moved with the lyric that said that I could hear my voice crying out amongst the scoffers, that your sacrifice and death on the cross was for my sins and in my place. And I'm grateful today for the sacrifice that you made, that we may know life, that we may know forgiveness, and that we may have the promise of heaven. I'm thankful, Lord, for your word, and I pray, God, that it would nourish our souls. I pray that it would speak to our minds, and that it would mold and shape us into what you'd have us to be. Lord, as I say almost every Sunday morning, we do not need the wisdom of men, but we need the wisdom of heaven. We need you to speak to us, God, and we ask you to do that at this time. We love you and we praise you. May your Son be exalted in all things. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. My soul thirsts for thee. My soul thirsts for thee. Psalm 63 speaks of that thirst on a couple of occasions. And that terminology or that use of language is something that's common in Scripture to talk about thirsting or having a hunger, talking about that physical desire and using it as a metaphor to describe a spiritual experience or a spiritual feeling within the heart of man. I want to read just a few more of those verses. The psalmists use it often. Psalm 42, another passage talking about the thirst. It says, as the hart panteth after the water, hart, H-A-R-T, it's actually talking about a deer. As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I love that verse. The picture, I think, is a clear one. If you've ever seen an animal that is panting for water, that is coming out of a dry place or have been in the hot sun for an extended period of time, and they are panting for that water to satisfy that longing that they have. And the psalmist says, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That's Psalm 42, 1 and 2. Psalm 143 also speaks of a soul thirst for the Lord. Psalm 143, verse 6 says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, as a thirsty land. The New Testament uses this terminology as well. Jesus in John 7 spoke in this way. Turn over there real quick. Bear with me. John chapter 7 in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so Jesus himself, utilizing that very terminology of the soul thirst of man, and inviting people to come and to drink of living water, water that would boil up inside of us, that is living and everlasting, that only Jesus can provide. And then in Matthew chapter 5 and the Beatitudes, probably familiar scripture to you, one of those Beatitudes is blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so, again, for our scripture, that terminology is something that is used throughout. Those aren't the only examples of it. What is this thirst that the psalmist talks about? He says that verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Well, again, like we've already said, thirst is a physical condition of the body. And it is used in Scripture to describe a spiritual experience that David, as a child of God, in this moment of trial that he finds himself in, has a deep longing, a spiritual longing for God. And he uses the terminology of thirst to describe it. We're not exactly sure what it is that David is going through. The introduction to the psalm says that it's a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. There's probably two possibilities that this could be referring to, and we're not going to go deep into those, but if you've read it, it should ring a bell. One is when he's running from Saul. He's in the wilderness. He's hiding out in caves. Saul is seeking his life, and so he's in that trouble. That was one time when he was in the wilderness. The other is when Absalom, his son, ran him from his kingdom. He turned the hearts of the people of Israel, had turned against against David and his reign, and he had to flee his throne, and he had to flee Israel and hide in the wilderness, and he was running from his son. So whichever one of those that it is, we're sure that he was in a tough place, that it was a hard time, and certainly there must have been questions as to why the things were happening that were happening and what would be coming around the corner, and all of those things must have been welling up in him. But as he lifts his prayer and his song to the Lord, it is this intense longing for the presence of God that he describes as thirst. Thirst, to me, is an unfamiliar physical experience. I probably, like all of us, have used the terminology of being thirsty, or I'm so thirsty I could die, we've probably said. If that's not hyperbole, I don't know what is. My guess is that many of us, if not every single one of us, have never experienced the depth of thirst. Some of you, don't get me wrong, I don't know everyone's experience, and maybe you have been in that situation. I certainly haven't. But we can understand that it is that when we would have parched lips and a throat that would burn, and the dehydration and the pain that would consume our bodies would be an overwhelming physical experience that caused a yearning within us to cause that to cease, to have water to quench that and to help that experience that we were going through. This physical experience, as David cried out to the Lord, was the language of his soul. As he considered where he stood from a spiritual standpoint, his soul longed for the Lord's presence. In Psalm 43, where it talks about the deer that pants after the water brook, so is my soul that thirsteth after thee. Church, is that the language of our soul this morning? Do we long for the presence of God in our lives? Do we long to experience His fellowship and His nearness in our lives? With all honesty, I don't know if I can say that I can use the language of thirst to describe my soul, but I pray that God would build that in me and stir that thirst and desire within me, that it consumes my body and that desire for His presence would be within me. It's one of those paradoxes of Scripture that though David had found God, He was his God. He speaks of Him very personally. We'll talk about that in just a moment. He calls Him my God. He knew God. He knew the forgiveness of sin. He had found Him in salvation. He had a time and place in his life where his sins had been forgiven, where God became his God and Christ became his Savior. And yet still, in the experience of his walk with God, that thirst and longing, that pursuit of God's presence hasn't ceased. And so that is a paradox of Scripture, that in salvation He saves us to the uttermost. We don't need something in addition to what God has done to us in salvation. And yet, our walk with God, we should never stop yearning to be near Him and to know His presence. And I certainly pray that that would be the case. It is unfamiliar to us, the physical condition, and yet many of us probably have experienced something of that nature in our spiritual need. It was uncomfortable. In Psalm 63, you can tell that the intensity of the desire that he had to be with God was causing some disruption in his life. He talks about laying on his bed and being up at night and some of the sleeplessness that he must have felt and all of this that was going on around him. There was an uncomfortableness of all of it that gripped him and stirred him in his bed at night. He was deeply affected. There's an urgency to it, right? Again, verse 1, early will I seek thee. What's he speaking of? He's saying at dawn when my eyes open and the breath fills my lungs and I understand that another day is upon me. He says, early will I seek you and pursue you that I may know you. There's an earnestness in his thirst for God. Now, you'll see that he's not thirsting for his throne. He's not thirsting for a comfort that he had once experienced. He's not in any of these words striving to regain something that was lost about the comfort of life or the things that were normal. But his thirst, his longing is not for those things. His longing is to be with God, to be in his presence, and to know that he is with him. Is that the language of our souls? That is what God would stir within me as I contemplated these things and as I share it with you this morning. Is this the language of our soul? I read somewhere, and I'll mess the quote up, but it talked about the mark of spiritual barrenness within a church. A mark of spiritual famine within a church is when people are coming out of a sense of duty or to fulfill a habit rather than to satisfy the appetite of our souls. And as I read that, I was moved within and said, God, when I gather, when I come to worship, and when I meet with God's people, am I coming to satisfy a duty or a responsibility that's upon me? Or do I come with a longing thirst in my soul to satisfy the appetite of being in the presence of God? I pray that God would help us to have that kind of appetite, that kind of thirst, as the psalmist wrote. He says, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You see, he compares the presence of God with everything else, right? And as he compares everything else in the land and the world that's around him with God and knowing him and his presence, he said, there is no water there. Right? What's he saying? He's saying this thirst, this spiritual experience of the longing to be with God cannot be satisfied by any substitute in the world. Right? And we may think about, man, if I just advanced this far in my career, or if I could just reach this place in my financial peace within this life, or maybe if I just reach this type of relationship, a spouse in my life, or something that had to do with the relationships around us, if we could just satisfy that, then that longing would be taken care of. But David says, listen, this land is dry and a thirsty land. There is nothing that can satisfy the longing of the spiritual need of our souls other than God himself. We need him. And David said that very thing. You see, even those of us that have been saved by God's grace, that have a time and place when we've been forgiven of our sins and given the promise of heaven, and we have the continual presence of the Holy Spirit that comes with us and indwells us, we allow the things of life at times to cloud our nearness, right? That we don't feel the presence of God like we once may have done in the infancy of our spiritual life. And so David, in this dry and thirsty land that continues to wear on him and continues to dry him to the bone, longs to drink of the satisfaction of the presence of the Lord. When was the last time that we longed or laid up at night and said, Lord, I just want your presence. I just want to feel you near me. When was the last time we, church, unified, came and gathered around here or in our pews, and we cried out to the Lord with no care of what others may think or what's around the corner, but we cried to the Lord to manifest himself, to know, God, you are always present and you are all knowing and you are all powerful, but Lord, make yourself known amongst us. Let us feel the power of your presence. Move amongst the congregation of your people. Convict sinners of their sins and bring them to you in prayer and repentance. May we long for that thirst. It's a dry and thirsty land. There is certainly no substitute for the water that he provides. It's a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Where does this thirst come from? Where does this thirst come from? I think one thing is clear, that it doesn't come by our fallen nature, okay? But it comes by a work of grace in coming into personal relationship with the Lord. David calls him here, O God, thou art my God, right? We've spoken of this often and many times in the Psalms. David approaches God not as a God, not as the God, not as a Savior or a Lord, but he says, you are my Lord, you are my shepherd, you are my God. How is David able to reference the God of heaven as his? Possessing that it's a relationship that he is speaking of, that once he was alienated or separated from God, which is the state of every sinner before the Lord, because he is holy and we are sinful. But at some point in his life, he had known the forgiveness of God, and he had brought him into a personal, living, real relationship with him that he could reference him as his God. Can you say that this morning? as you lift your voice and heart to the Lord in prayer, as you sing these songs that we sing, can you say that He's your Lord? David said, "You are my God. Early will I seek Thee." The longing came, first of all, when spiritual life was implanted into his soul. It was one of the first signs. It is one of the first signs of spiritual life, is a longing for the presence of the Lord. And that analogy adds up with the physical world, right? What do we look for when babies are born into this world and we cut the umbilical cord and they're there? What do we look for signs that they are healthy and well, is that they have a longing for food, right? They want to eat. They know very little at this point, right? The pathways in their brains have not at all started. Excuse me to the medical people that I butcher all this. But they're very young, and those things haven't started connecting and making sense yet. And yet it is natural within that child that is healthy and well to long after the milk of their mother or the sustenance that can be provided for them. They know that there's a longing within them, that there's a need that must be satisfied. And so they pursue that even in their infancy. You see, when we've been saved by God's grace, one of the evidences or the marks of a true believer that knows the salvation of the Lord is there will be a longing within our hearts to be near God. We haven't figured it all out yet. I can promise you that. I still am far from it. But there is a longing within the heart of the newborn Christian to be near God, to feast on the milk of His Word, to want to know more, to feel His presence, because He just saved you. You were separated from Him, lost in your sins, and the Lord spoke life to your soul. And it is natural as we come to life in the Lord to long for Him. And the reality is just as a child, if they don't long for milk and sustenance to feed them, there's something wrong, right? And the nurses and the doctors will do whatever is necessary to try to get them to eat or to have that longing. The reality is today, if there is no longing within your soul for God's presence, if there is no desire to know Him and more about Him, there is something spiritually wrong inside. Now, I'm not going to say it's this, that, or the other. And certainly our relationships with God are personal. It's something that God does within us, and He can reveal from God to us without any kind of word from someone else. He can make known to our hearts that we are right with Him. But the fact is, if we are dry, if there is no longing for God, no desire to know more about Him, there is something spiritually wrong in us. And we need to go to the Lord for those answers. That thirst comes first of all from receiving life from the Lord. It is evidence that we are His. There is a longing within us. Have you ever noticed that appetite grows with eating? I was thinking about that today. Here I go with another silly diet analogy. You can know that I've been going on trying to eat right lately, but it's very clear to me that as I cut out more calories, that after a while, it takes a little bit, but after a while, my stomach stops desiring the amount of food and the amount of calories that it once did, right? It becomes satisfied with a lot less. And that's the desire, that as I eat healthier and bring the calorie count down, now those calories satisfy, I don't need as much as I do. But on the other hand, when I am eating anything that I want and just devouring food, it takes more to satisfy that longing. That appetite actually grows by eating. And I hope that you understand the analogy that as we feast on the Lord, as we learn from His Word, as we eat the nourishment of the spiritual food that He provides to us, what it creates within the heart of the believer is a greater, deeper appetite for the things of God. Have you ever noticed that? As the Word of God is opened up to you, maybe it was a sermon that God moved through a man as he proclaimed the Word and he taught it, and the Holy Spirit took the truths of God's Word and started to work in your mind and to feed your soul, and it created a deeper appetite to know more. Or maybe you were in a service And the presence of the Holy Spirit was palpable, and we felt the presence of God, and He was moving within our people, and people were testifying of the goodness of God, shouting for His glory, singing not just to go through a routine, but from the depths of their heart to worship their Savior. And as you feast on that spiritual food, it just creates a deeper appetite for more. More about Jesus. Give Him to me. I pray that God would build that in us. And as we feast on what God gives us in spiritual food, that it would just grow our appetites for more. David said there in verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life. He's saying, listen, to know God's love, His presence, it's more important than life itself. That's not understood from a physical nature. That is something that is spiritually takes place. And when the believer comes to know God and His presence, it gets to the point where we say, listen, Your loving kindness, Your mercy and compassion and goodness, Your presence in my life, it's worth more than life itself. I want You, Lord. And so that thirst continues to grow in us. We'll close shortly. I appreciate your patience. David has a historical memory that stimulates a refreshed zeal within him. Verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And he goes on, he speaks of other things, but he talks about a memory of being in the sanctuary of God, worshiping the Lord in the temple with God's people in public worship. And as he contemplates the power of God in the moment of worship of God's people, it rejuvenates a thirst and a longing and a zeal within him. Aren't you thankful that God allows us to remember back on special occasions and different things and services that we have in our past, where God met with us in a profound way and His power was real and the effect that He was having on the hearts and souls of people was awesome. And we consider those things and we look back on what God has done and we say, Lord, God, give me a zeal and a desire to know that. And what David is saying here is not that he longs to live in the past, but what he's remembering is that God hasn't changed. The same God that was able to work so powerfully in the memories that he was having is the same God with the same power that can work in this very moment. And so, Lord, we love those days and we're thankful for the things that we remember. But God, we hunger and thirst for your presence now. Come. And so I pray that we would seek it and yearn for it. May the Lord revive our souls, and may He create in us a thirst that cannot be quenched, but that continues to guide us to pursue Him more and more. There is no substitute for the satisfaction that only God can give. And I pray today that if you don't know the satisfying presence of the Lord, the satisfying nature of knowing Christ and the forgiveness of sin, and if you've been saved by God's grace and you just have some clouds that have built up in your life and some busyness and stuff that has just gotten in the way, I pray that we would fall upon our face before the Lord and that God would refresh in us a zeal, a thirst, parched lips and a burning throat, an aching body and sleepless nights. That we just cry out to the Lord and we long for it. The promise of Scripture is this: blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What's the promise associated with those that are blessed? They shall be filled. They shall be filled. You will find no filling in this dry and thirsty land, but you have the promise of the God of heaven that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. May God richly bless you today. Let's